Welcome to Making Our Way Forward, a podcast where we share compelling life stories and learn from the experience of everyday entrepreneurs. At NACI, we celebrate diversity and invite you to join the conversation as we talk to entrepreneurs and leaders from all walks of life. We hope that by telling their stories, we bring you inspiration, empower you to take action, and ignite entrepreneurship in your community. Welcome to Making Our Way Forward podcast. This is a special week for us because we're going to be celebrating Earth Day on April 22nd. And a few fun facts that you may or may not know about Earth Day, that it was officially a day in 1970. And since that time, over a billion people have celebrated and participate in Earth Day. It's in fact the largest secular observance in the world. So I'm very happy to welcome our guest today, a friend and a co-author and an environmental activist in DC, Stephanie Miller. So Stephanie Miller, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Becky. It's great to be with you on Earth Week.
On Earth Week, yes. And I see your book in the background on your bookcase, and I have a copy of it actually right in front of me. And Stephanie, before we get started, because I want to hear about your story, is I want to read one of the many reviews of your book, Zero Waste Living, the 80-20 Way, The Busy Person's Guide to a Lighter Footprint. Because when you and I got to know each other, this was the one thing that struck me reading your book and getting to know you as a person. It says, unlike other books that make going zero waste feel daunting for the average person, Zero Waste Living, the 80-20 rule, is the hand-holding equivalent of a friend coaching you through the process, offering practical suggestions to modify behavior. The information is accessible and easy to digest, no pun intended. So, Stephanie, that's a great way to begin. But before we jump into the book, I want to just go back in time a little bit and share with us a little bit about your history. Where do you come from? How did you get interested in the environment and sharing a little bit of your story?
Sure. Thank you. And I'll have to figure out who that quote is from because I love that review. So I consider myself, I think, a conservationist from an early age, although I don't think I actually labeled myself that way. But I used to walk around the neighborhood with my grandmother, who would always pick up trash that she would see. And I don't know, I think those of us who grew up in the 70s also have this mindset. You know, we had the litter bug advertisement and lots of programs to do turn off lights. You know, the energy crisis was a big thing. So I've always strongly associated with being environmentally conscious, at least. But then I started my, where am I from, by the way? I'm sort of a bit of a gypsy kid. I grew up all over the place, Florida, Minnesota, France for a few years. But basically spent my career at 26 years at the International Finance Corporation, which is the private sector part of the World Bank. I was based in DC for most of the time. I kind of had my dream job given to me after rising, you know, the ranks through my career at IFC. I got to be the climate director, the leader of our climate change agenda for IFC, just about the time when IFC decided to create a whole agenda around climate. So I can tell you a little bit about what I've done since I left IFC, but essentially conservation and environmental interest I sort of feel are in my DNA.
So Stephanie, I just want to share as we continue to talk, the quote that you mentioned or that I spoke about that you mentioned was from Laura Ilau, founder of Plastic Tree and chair of the Circular Economy Working Group. So that's one of many colleagues and friends that you've made over the years. And I believe you interviewed her. Is that right?
Yes. In fact, she's a person I got to know much more recently. I knew her because she was head of, as you said, the DC Circular Economy Working Group. And I was a part of that group. But then she formed this company out of nothing, this basically waste management company that collects things for reuse. So, you know, there's reduce, reuse, recycle. The reuse is a tough one because, you know, if you think about it, there's just so many things you can do with the 12th egg carton or the, you know, takeout container. And she finds a home for these things that where she's able to avoid the landfill, at least for a little while longer, by finding another use for those things. She has a service where she picks up things for reuse, and it's amazing. So I interviewed her for the book. I love the fact that she's this startup company. And I know your focus is on entrepreneurship. It was really fascinating to talk to her and see what she's trying to do.
That's great. And we should dig into that a little bit more because you're right. Many people think about entrepreneurship in terms of starting a business, which could be a product or a service. But there's a whole segment of entrepreneurship that it embraces what's known as social entrepreneurship. So these are people like yourself that have a passion that they want to make the world a better place. And they have an idea of a business idea for how to do that. So let's talk about that. Stephanie, did you think of yourself as an entrepreneur prior to becoming an author and then eventually starting your own business?
Definitely not. I started wondering whether I could be an entrepreneur about a year after I left, you know, the wonderful institution that I'd been in for so long. When you spend that long in one institution, it's hard to think of yourself as an entrepreneur. I like to think of myself, and I think you have a term in your book about, I forget what it's called, but being an entrepreneur within an organization. And I like to think that I had my roots as an entrepreneur doing just that, finding some, you know, areas that I really wanted to push forward in the institution and being able to navigate toward those. But in terms of being a real entrepreneur, I'm just getting started. And when, you know, when I left the IFC, it was initially to take what I call a gap year to spend more time with my son, who was going off to college the following year. But I used that time to also try to figure out finally what I could do about my own personal carbon and waste footprint. And, you know, here I'd been at the IFC leading climate change, but I was finding in my own personal life, I wasn't getting to doing the things that I felt were right for the environment. So I finally tackled that. And long story short, I got into it so much. I did a lot of research that I started giving talks in the community. And that's how the book idea was presented to me last summer, was an opportunity to create a platform to talk about my ideas. And it was about that time when I was thinking of maybe being an entrepreneur. And here I am a year later, and I'm giving it a go.
Great. And it's always interesting to me, and I love that you brought up the idea of anyone can be an entrepreneur, because that's really what we believe at NACI, the organization that I lead. And I guess in some ways I'm a bit like you in that it took me a while to find my sweet spot, but I never thought of myself as an entrepreneur either. But what I see myself doing, leading and growing NACI is more of an entrepreneur. So I'm a person who has had opportunity, but I'm constantly thinking about how can we provide more value to our members. So, you know, in NACI's world, that's our customer base, which are people who work for community colleges, people who attend community colleges. And as you continue your path, you asked me earlier this morning, which I love this question, what community college is closest to me? Because that really was the genesis of Impact Ed, which was the other book in the series that we wrote, Andy Gold, Beth Curley, and I. But I want to get back to a little bit more about A Lighter Footprint and A Busy Person's Guide, because when I was reading all of the books in the series, yours really resonated with me because, like you, you know, being a busy mom of, you know, young adults and having a lot of things on my plate, I would feel guilty sometimes too, you know, not doing enough. And the sort of the focus of your book is that you don't really have to do everything perfectly, but you have to really sort of make it a habit and begin where you are. So maybe talk about that for some of our listeners that well, the two of us really want to become more environmentally responsible, but maybe they don't know where to begin.
Yeah. So, and by the way, intrapreneur, that was the term that I remember from your book that I loved, because that's, I associated myself with doing that when I was in the organization that I was in for so many years. The place I think to start when people ask me, where do I, you know, plastic is all over in our lives, but where do you even start? I always say pick one thing. So what I mean by that is figure out, and it doesn't take too many seconds to do this, I think, for most of us, figure out the thing that you buy every day or at least every week that comes in single-use plastic. Single-use plastic is just that plastic that we touch for maybe seconds and then we dispose of it when we're done with whatever's in the container. Find that thing that for you is a common purchase. And there's almost always an alternative packaging that's more sustainable than plastic. And commit to not buying that thing anymore. For me, it was the plastic water bottle, which when I was at my job in my office, I didn't think about it. I was buying 1 to 2 bottles a day. I wanted to stay hydrated. I was busy. Anyway, the substitute for me was getting a reusable bottle. I committed that I wouldn't buy any more water in plastic bottles. I didn't. So I went thirsty when I forgot my bottle. And I've now saved about 700 bottles per year that I was going through. That's a lot per person. My philosophy about this is that once you focus on one thing, it kind of opens up your consciousness to all the other single-use plastic that you're consuming. And, you know, along the lines of what we can talk about, 80-20, you don't have to do everything. You don't have to be perfect, but at least do what you can. You know, figure out that we're not plastic-free in this house. We just put our recycling out this morning. There is plastic in that recycle bin, but it's the things that we're not prepared to do without. My partner loves raspberries, and this time of year, they still come in plastic clamshells. And so that's the plastic that's in our recycle bin. So I think you don't have to be perfect. And that's my message, because I think I was my own worst enemy when I was, you know, leading climate change in this organization. I would come home and say, I just don't have time to deal with what I know I should be doing.
Yeah, I love your authenticity in that too, because I, to some extent, feel the same way about entrepreneurial mindset. It's cultivating a habit of seeing what's in front of you and taking that risk. And when you have days, and we all have them, where I am not entrepreneurial at all, I don't fully embrace the mindset, but I don't stop. And I think that's such an interesting application of 80-20. And if you extrapolate out the math, just the savings that you've done, and you've had an impact on my life personally, I've shared that with you. When I go grocery shopping, I think about things differently. And I don't know if I'm quite up to 80-20 yet, but I'm getting a lot closer, and it makes me feel better, actually. And there's other things. So when we think about Earth Day, and you were reflecting on your experience growing up, and I remember some of those things, and, you know, planet Earth at the time, there was leaded gas. And I'm sure a lot of people think about that. But, you know, going all the way back to 1970, and you think now it's impacted 1 billion people. Will you share with us some of the items that you have on your desk? And maybe you can verbally describe them for those who are listening via audio, of things that can help us live the 80-20 rule and save on plastics and so forth.
Yeah, let me give you two of my favorites, especially right now during the pandemic. How many of us are doing takeout more than we ever have in the past year because of the pandemic, not being able to go to restaurants, not wanting to cook every single night? So we bring home, or we end up getting delivery of a lot of these plastic takeout containers. And in some jurisdictions, this black plastic isn't even recyclable. The top part is. But there's a solution to this that I've been using, and it's actually really easy. The only sacrifice you have to make is not getting delivery, but instead going to pick up your food. And you can have it put into your own reusable containers. And we do this with our local Chinese restaurant, with our local Indian restaurant, Greek, and Thai. And no problem. I have never been turned down. I think a lot of people get afraid to ask a question where the clerk might say no, but I have so far never been turned down. So that's a great way to avoid a ton of plastic that we are bringing home. Another of my favorites is the reusable produce bag. So we are all used to bringing our own bags to the grocery store, our shopping bags, and avoiding that. I think most of us are doing that already. So if you add a few of these to your shopping bags, you can avoid all of the plastic that produce comes in. And you'd be surprised how much produce, fruits and vegetables, if you actually look for it in the grocery store, just regular grocery stores, not specialty, how much of a section they have with unpackaged fruits and vegetables. And instead of using the produce plastic, single-use plastic produce bags that they supply at the grocery stores, if you bring your own bags, or you can even just put the produce directly in your shopping cart, but a lot of people like to put it in something else, this saves on a ton of plastic. If all of us did this, it would make a huge difference. Those are some of my favorites. There are so many places that you can go to. I mean, there's so many ideas that we can put to practice. But I think, again, if you start with a few, you get excited about what else you can do to reduce your plastic. That's my philosophy.
Those are great suggestions, Stephanie. And I think putting on my business hat, the advantage for the businesses are that it actually reduced the cost of doing business. So I think there's always, you know, that opportunity to kind of incent cooperation that way. So thank you for those suggestions.
Yeah, and I'll just add, it's absolutely cost savings. And it's also places that are willing to do this, develop a better brand and reputation. Going back to the dry cleaners, for example, I know of someone who switched in my neighborhood to the dry cleaners that I go to because their dry cleaners refused to put their clothes in a reusable bag. And President Ballet said they would do it. So that's another big reason that stores and companies might want to choose to offer reusable as an option.
That's quite remarkable. And I think sometimes people need the opportunity to connect with other networks or connect with other people. Are there organizations that are in communities or resources where people can go? Certainly they can get a hold of your book, on the John Hunt Publishing site, or I'm sure that they can Google you, but maybe share with our listeners how, if they really want to embrace Earth Day and just do one thing, where could they go to get some inspiration or support?
That is a great question. There isn't one place that I would recommend. I think it depends on, you know, what moves you. We had yesterday a couple of trees planted. There was a fundraiser for a local school, and we had a couple of trees planted by some volunteers. I'm going to do something on Earth Day that I've never done before. You may remember my dry cleaning story from the book. So basically that story is that I, you know, went into my local dry cleaners and asked them if they would use my reusable bag instead of putting it in plastic, my clean clothes. And lo and behold, not only did they do that, but over the course of a few weeks and months, they adopted a reusable bag program. And now a third of their customers use these reusable bags. But it's kind of stagnated during the pandemic. I think people don't want to spend a lot of time in any small enclosed store. And so they haven't sold much. So I'm going to actually sit outside the dry cleaners on Earth Day and help them sell or make it known that they offer this service. In terms of organizations, if you talk about plastic, there are so many places where one could go to. There's a Break Free from Plastic Coalition. There's a wonderful organization that started in, I think it's Australia, called Plastic Free July, where they really encourage people to find alternatives, just what we were talking about before, to using plastic.
Stephanie, you mentioned different countries and things that are going on. And here at NACI and in our headquarters in Raleigh, we really embrace UN sustainability goals and trying to align with those as much as possible. And it was an interesting fact to me to find that 190 countries around the world celebrate Earth Day. So it's really also that opportunity for us to join together. And you know, we think about all of us as a human race really going through this pandemic together. And while, you know, some people have more resources than others, we have big challenges to tackle and things that we want to do. And I'd like for you to share a little bit about what it was like for you as a person, as a new entrepreneur, an entrepreneur turned entrepreneur, you know, experiencing the pandemic. And also, what are you most hopeful about as we come out on the other side of the pandemic?
Yeah, well, for me, the pandemic, I think, as with all of us, is a tragedy. And from a personal perspective, was so difficult in terms of not seeing our loved ones or not feeling safe, or we were possibly putting them at risk when we were seeing them. And that's, of course, been, I think, across the board difficult. For me, the book opportunity, as with you, came during the pandemic. And I really appreciated having an opportunity to dive into something challenging that I hadn't thought about doing, and really kind of immersing myself in that, and having something that I produce come out of this strange time. But what gives me hope, the thing that gives me the most hope because of the pandemic and related to zero waste, is that I think we're all seeing that we really can do things differently when we have to. And climate change is going to be about pivoting quickly and finding solutions. Yes, we need the entrepreneurs that are out there, but we also need just the common individual, like, you know, me, to do the right things. And I think, you know, if you take, for example, what we're doing right now, which is having an interview. Can you imagine a year ago doing this kind of interview and people thinking it was normal? And so my old workplace was, you know, all about travel. You have to travel across the globe to meet the client, to do the due diligence of the project. And I think every single person in that institution, and multiplied many times over across the globe, is realizing there are different ways of doing things. And some of those things I hope and I think will stick. And those things will lower our greenhouse gas footprint, which is so important. So I am feeling hopeful that we see that we can do things differently and we can pivot very quickly. And we need to do that for the sake of, you know, these climate and waste crises that we're facing.
Stephanie, that is so well said. And I agree with you 100% about that sense of community. And I really, if you would have told me a year ago, I would be participating in this podcast and interviewing people like yourself that are doing things to really improve the planet and to make the world a better place in the midst of a pandemic where we've had devastating loss. It just shows you, I think, the resiliency of people and that opportunity. So I know a lot of us, people in my network and yourself, really feel compelled to try things that have not been done before and really put ourselves out there. And that really is the journey of an entrepreneur. And I thank you for sharing your story. I loved the dry cleaning example. And I think that's wonderful that you're going to be sitting outside of that dry cleaner and trying to move it forward. So I would certainly challenge everyone who's listening to this podcast is follow Stephanie's example and do that one thing and try to make it a habit. And if we think of our listeners here on the Making Our Way Forward podcast, we have listeners in many countries around the world and in over 140 cities throughout the United States alone. So we could make quite an impact. So I want to wish you a happy Earth Day, Stephanie, and I'm just grateful for your leadership in this space, for knowing you as a person, and I encourage everyone to pick up a copy of your book, Zero Waste Living, The 80-20 Way with Stephanie J. Miller. So wishing you a good day, and thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you, Becky, and happy Earth Day to you, and wishing you all the very best. One of the best things that happened also in the pandemic is I got to be part of this great author cohort for the Reset series. And so I'm so glad to have gotten to know you through this. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. And thank you to our publisher, Tim Ward, and all of our colleagues.
So. Huge thanks. Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us. We hope that listening to this podcast will help you to explore the many ways we might define entrepreneurship. Join us every other Wednesday for more episodes as we celebrate opportunity, learn from one another, and grow together. Subscribe to this podcast, connect with us on social media, and learn more about today's speakers at naci.com/podcast. We look forward to making our way forward together with you.
Have you heard about our latest book, Impact Ed, How Community College Entrepreneurship Creates Equity and Prosperity? This is our roadmap for building back better in 50 states and globally. In each chapter, we share the inspiring stories of everyday entrepreneurs and explain how community colleges play a crucial role in their success. Visit us at naci.com/impacted to order your copy now and join us in this work.
Have you heard the exciting news? NACI recently released a new publication titled The NACI Playbook, Volume 1, all about how entrepreneurial mindset sets the new standard for success in communities and colleges. The NACI Playbook digs into entrepreneurial mindset and how practicing leadership with this framework creates an agile culture with space to innovate, co-create, fail forward, and accelerate growth. Entrepreneurship and entrepreneurial leadership require us to lean in, anticipate and recognize trends, manage change, be resilient, take risks, reflect, and rest in the knowledge that anything is possible. Learn from our innovative, insightful, generous network who navigates both challenges and opportunities entrepreneurially as we share what we've learned and how you might apply their experience to your work. We hope you'll be as inspired as we were. Learn more at www.naciplaybook.com.